Oftentimes, I find that I am desiring to learn new things. When I did a personality kind of survey one time, I found that one of my strengths was that I am a learner. And so for me to maximize my talents and abilities to serve God, I need to be learning new things and then growing in my ability to learn and do new talents for God. This is something that I remember being very scared of, actually, when I was thinking about becoming a priest. See, I was an engineer. I was a software engineer. Computer science was my major, and I loved engineering and math and very concrete, tangible kind of things. And I remember when I was talking with the priest at the campus center in college and wondering, okay, what would it be like to be a priest? One of the things, as he was describing seminary, he said, you know, and then after your third year, you go and you're a chaplain at a hospital all summer, and that's all you do. And I thought, okay, no way, that answers the question. I am not called to be a priest because I don't like hospitals, scared of hospitals, definitely don't want to be around sick people and crisis and like, okay, so priesthood, not for me. Well, then I eventually discerned that, oh, maybe I am called to be a priest. And then it came that third year. I'm like, well, now it's time to sign up for your hospital chaplaincy for the summer. I'm like, great, here it is. And I was scared of it. But I by that time, you know, I discerned that God was calling me to be a priest. I'm like, all right, if I'm going to be a priest, I got to get over this. So I remember one day when we started our clinical pastoral education, it was called CPE. There I was with my supervisor, and he said, now, you need to write down your two choices for the area in the hospital that you want to, like, specialize in, you know, like the cancer place or dialysis or things like that. And I said, you know what, if I'm going to get over this thing, I got to go big or go home. So I wrote down that I wanted to be assigned to the trauma unit of the hospital. And I remember my supervisor looking at that. He's like, trauma? Wow, we don't normally get requests for that. I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. But okay. He's like, all right. And so I got assigned to trauma in ER. And so that was my area of the hospital where I focused. And I remember, you know, just being terrified of that. And my pager went off the first time. And they're bringing people in. And there's blood everywhere. And people are screaming. And the doctors are like, you, go settle down the family. I'm like, I don't know what to do. Settle down the family. Yeah, great, settle me down, you know? And then I love it because the doctors would be like, when somebody dies, they're like, chaplain, come with me. You know, like, we go talk with the family and like, very sorry, we did all we could, but we couldn't save your loved one. I'll leave you with the chaplain. And like the doctor leaves. I'm like, hi. Yeah, I'm Chaplain Sean. You know, and eventually, though, I started to practice. I got over that. And all of a sudden, then people would be like, you know, there's maybe a little baby's in trouble in the hospital. Or there's some kind of trauma. And they'd be like calling down, is Chaplain Sean there? And my supervisor's like, they want you. I'm like, good. I got it. I'm on it. I'm up there and, you know, praying. And I remember my last day at CPE. I'm walking through the hospital with my supervisor. And we go into the ER. And all the nurses and doctors are there like, hey, Chaplain Sean's here. Hey, Chaplain Sean. Chaplain Sean is here. And like my supervisor's like, man, you are like the mayor of the ER. I'm like, eh, you know, whatever. And I realized at that time that, man, I had gone from being this terrified little person who didn't even want to be a priest because they didn't want to go to hospitals to like mayor of the ER. You know, and I thought, you know, God is so good because that can't be me. It's more like God equipping us for the mission that he has for us. And for me as a priest, he had to give me that ability to go to hospitals because it's just something we do. And to this day, I go with confidence now, knowing that I've been through a lot of these things. But I think each of us has this kind of call from God. That I love our scriptures today because it talks about how God is little by little, it says in our first reading, working on us to help call us forward. Because the truth is he's given each of us incredible gifts. And part of that personality survey thing I said that I did was to kind of discern what are our individual talents. You know, this particular workshop that the priests were doing, they said one of the worst things you could do in a parish is simply say, well, we've got a hole, you know, we got a hole here. We need an usher. So let's just see who will be willing, you know, to be an usher. And you get someone who like super loves God and loves the church, and they're like, you know, I guess I could be an usher, but they don't have any gifts for that. And they're just like, they want to help, but that's not their talent. They said, rather than try to say, well, we've got a hole here, you need to discern the individual talents of your people. You need to say, you know what, that person over there, they're incredibly welcoming and outgoing, and it doesn't matter if you got a hole for an usher or not. Like, we want to use your talents. You should be an usher. Or you've got someone who's an incredible public speaker who knows how to use a microphone, have great diction, and maybe they super love the scriptures. We need to reach out to them and say, I think you would be a great lector. But what do? We're like, oh my gosh, we need people to help read the scriptures. And good people say, well, I guess if the church needs something, I could help. It's kind of the backwards way to do it. We need to instead discern what are the gifts that people have. And maybe they're gifts that you have that we don't even know we need yet. You know, I kind of joked the other day, if you saw on Facebook, I posted on All Saints Day, I played trumpet for years, so I picked up my trumpet. I'm like, you know what? Let's add a little festivity for the great solemnity of All Saints. So I played for all the saints in my trumpet. Check it out on Facebook if you haven't. You know, I joked that, well, you know, when your parish is kind of on a tight budget, sometimes people got to do multiple jobs. So there I am, take a break from celebrating Mass, go play my trumpet. Now, that's not really the ideal, but all of you have certain talents, and often we find that, you know, that the priest playing trumpet at Mass is kind of an extreme example, but we have people doing, the same people doing three or four different things all at once because they're so great at volunteering. And secret, maybe they're not even so great at the things they're doing. You ever wonder, like, sometimes, you know, why is it that the person that can't even seem to talk volunteers as a lector? Well, because those are the most generous people in the whole parish. Like, volunteer for anything. Like, well, I mean, I can't hardly speak, but if you need a lector, I'll do it, Father. Well, by the way, I'm not talking about our lector today. Just disclaimer, okay? Lectors today, great, okay? But, all right, maybe you're sitting there and you're like, yeah, I mean, I'm on the board of my corporation and I have to speak all the time. But you're like, oh, I'd never do it in church. You know, that's like me saying, like, I don't want to go to hospitals. So over the next couple weekends, we are looking at a word that we use in the church called stewardship. And that's the idea that we've been given things. We should be thankful to God, and then that we should take good care of the things that we've been given. And in this case, often in the church, we break this down to three areas: time, talent, and treasure. Everybody always thinks when we talk about stewardship, we're talking about treasure. Like, okay, Father, how much money do you want? And that, you know, that's important. We'll talk about that next week. So don't worry, we're not talking about money today, but rather, maybe to look at those first two categories of time and talent. What do we do with the gifts God has given us? And if you notice, there's a little white sheet at the end of the pews. Father Mark was really great last night. He had like everyone pass them down and everyone look at them. And then he actually walked back to someone who didn't have their form and embarrassed them. You know, I won't do that, but these little white sheets, they're at the end of the pews. You know, make sure you've got one. And I'll just explain a little bit. It says three different areas: worship ministry, service ministry, committee membership, different things you can look at to say, all right, do any of these seem to call out a certain gift that I discern that I might have? You know, and a lot of times people think that, well, if I'm going to be a good Catholic, then what's the minimum that I need to do? Okay, at least I'll go to Mass on Sunday. And you're here, so praise God for that. But, you know, I like to think of our parish more as a big family. And it's not enough in a family just to show up for dinner once a week and say, hey, here I am. You know, we have to, rather, if a family is really going to thrive, I think God gives to each of your families talents that your family needs. And you all know this, especially you kids. be discerning. Like, what do you bring to your family? Sometimes I think children think like, well, you know, I'm along for the ride. No, especially as you get older, we bring talents to our families. We help make them better. And so I ask you, as you look over the sheets today here, you should have been mailed this too. So I'm sure you all got them in the mail, and you've probably already filled these out and sent them back in. So, you know, no big deal that you can just leave the ones in the pew. But, you know, there are typical things on there like music ministry. You know, does Father Sean have to stop Mass and play trumpet because we can't find anybody? I don't know. RCIA, people becoming Catholic. Maybe you're a convert, became Catholic, or maybe you had an incredible experience. I don't know. There are like at least 30 things on this list. And so maybe you read through it and you find things like one of these committees even. Maybe you're an organized kind of person who likes to help groups discern the way forward. And you're like, school council, I care about our school. I'm gonna help with the school or the liturgy or whatever it is. If you read through that and something says, you know what, I could do that and I've never done that, well, maybe it's time to learn some new things and say, you know what, I got to step out a little bit. But I'm also interested. And maybe you read through this and you're like, you know what, I don't see anything necessarily that cries out to me, but I've got this other talent that's not on the list. Good. We especially want to know about the things not on the list. So if you've got some incredible ability, or maybe not incredible ability, maybe you think it's small. My last parish, they made quilts for people who were sick and gave them little prayer blankets that I blessed them before Mass, and we sent them. They're just a bunch of people who said, well, we're kind of old, Father. We don't even get to Mass, really, because we're stuck and homebound. But I like to make things, so we'll make things. Good. I think today the gospel gives us this beautiful example of Zacchaeus. He just wants to see Jesus, and he's not afraid to look stupid doing it. I mean, he runs up and he climbs a tree. Now, I'm willing to bet that this is probably not normal for him, because you notice he's not known in Scripture as, and Zacchaeus, the tree climber, you know, went up. I mean, everybody's known by what they do. Like, this is Peter the fisherman. You know, this is Simon the tax collector. They don't introduce Zacchaeus as, this is Zacchaeus the tree climber, as if he were just always climbing trees and was good at it. No, he probably hadn't climbed a tree since he was a little kid, but his heart was just so full of a desire to see Jesus that he runs up and he's not afraid to look stupid and climbs a tree. Well, maybe God is calling you this weekend to something that on this list you think like, well, I haven't done that in a while, or maybe I'd look stupid, or I don't want to stick out as some super Catholic. I don't want people to think that I'm like, you know, like so Catholic that I'm going to do something crazy like mow the lawn for the church. You know, can't join the Green Club. That would be too crazy. Well, I don't know. Pay attention, especially on the list, to things you think, that would be too crazy. I don't want to get too involved. I might get sucked in. Pay attention to that. Or things that you're like, oh, I'd look stupid. Or especially things that you're afraid of. Like, I don't know, soup kitchen, St. Mary's food kitchen. I've never done anything like that in my life. Good. Check that. That's like me going and putting trauma down on my list. So find something like that where you're like, man, I sang in choir in high school and I haven't sung since, and I wouldn't dream of singing in church. Okay, check choir. You know, maybe that's your thing. Shamrock Club. I don't even know what the Shamrock Club is, but it sounds like something quasi St. Patrick themed Irish. I don't know. You're like, hey, check Shamrock Club, because I don't know what the heck this is. Put a bunch of question marks by Shamrock Club. I don't know. I don't know what God will do with this. So Father Mark and I just pray to the Holy Spirit as we send these out, saying that, as it says in our readings today, God works little by little. And the thing that stuck out to me most, and I'll leave you with this, in the second reading, it talks about how we don't want God to come and like catch us all unaware. Because he's going to come at an hour we don't know, the scriptures tell us. As we come to the end of our liturgical year, we start to look at the end times. I'll leave you with this little story that has many variations, but the one that I heard is that there was an abbot at a monastery who was trying to instruct the young monks into the daily life of a Benedictine monk and how we do it. And they were talking about the end times, and they said, Father Abbot, if you knew today that Jesus was coming back, like just today, do you really think, as the abbot was actually playing pool at the time, the abbey had a pool table, and the young monks were a little scandalized. They said, "Abbot, if Jesus came back today, do you really think that you would want him to find you just at leisure here playing pool?" And the wise abbot, who had been a Benedictine for decades, went over and brought the young monks over to the daily schedule. And he pointed out on the daily schedule that it says 5 o'clock to 5:30, leisure. It's like, it is the time for leisure. I am playing pool. So if Jesus came back right now, I would continue playing pool because I am doing what I'm supposed to do on the daily schedule. I think that's a good kind of model for us. As we think about the end times, it doesn't matter if we're in church or leisure. The most important thing is that we're doing what we're supposed to do. So as you pray over this list of stewardship things, ask yourself, are you doing what God intends for you to do? All of it, especially the things you're scared of. We've got who knows how long. Don't let God come and catch you off guard. Be doing what you're supposed to do. Use all your talents and don't be afraid. You might even one day become mayor of the ER.